podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's our Liverpool Women's preview show before the return to the WSL after two seasons in the Championship, and it's a very different WSL to the one that Liverpool left under slightly contentious circumstances all the way back in the spring slash summer of 2020. I've got Philippa Smallwood, Lauren Black and Andy Bell with me to look ahead to every single facet of this season. Well, more the short-term facets, to be honest with you, because seasons grow and change, but from a Liverpool point of view here. But the first thing to say, Lauren, is that it's been a long road back, and it feels like this Liverpool is better equipped than the Liverpool that left the division. I think that's the most exciting part of all of this, that this is a side that right now feels as though it's got a lot of positive momentum, it's got a lot of quality, and it feels as though it's tried to ready itself for what will be a really difficult challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I think I 100% agree with that. The squad seems better, well put together this season going into the WSL compared to what it was the last time we were there. Obviously, circumstances are different as well in terms of the manager's position. Obviously, we've got Matt with us now, and he's obviously a key figure in this Liverpool side as well. We've got some really strong signings. We seem to have a good team unity at the minute. Right from the goalkeeper up to the forward line seems to be gelling well and all getting along well. So, it puts us in good stead for the season ahead. Obviously, the first couple of games will be, tough with some of the opposition that we have to play, and it'll be a big test for us, and it'll just show what we're about really as we go into this new season.
It will be a big test at the start of the season, Philippa. You know, it is a big first three games in there for Liverpool Women. But let's, deal with the idea of the test full stop. You know, it's a funny situation, it's a funny season. It's obviously been quite an exciting pre-season. Excellent win at West Ham as an example. This is a side which, we know, for instance, the first home game against Chelsea, we know how good Chelsea are. We know how big the gaps are through the whole of this division. We can acknowledge that now and still be able to really enjoy the journey, that this is a Liverpool side that's got to impose itself and show that it deserves to stay in this division early.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, that first game this weekend against Reading is absolutely huge. I think that sets our stall out for the rest of the season, and it'll give us an indicator just how big a battle I think it'll be this season as well. I think if we can go there and get 3 points, it really does give us a really good base to build our season on, because you don't want to really be going into that Chelsea game with 0 points basically, and having to worry about when your next point's going to come. I want to be going into that Chelsea game knowing we've already got 3 in the bag, and then building into the derby, even if we don't manage to get anything out of the Chelsea game, that you're going into that derby game thinking, if we win here, there's no reason why we can't, finish higher than the teams, that we've probably before the season starts, we're looking at Reading and Everton and going, can we compete with those really? It's massive, massive first three games for me.
It becomes, Andy, and I think it's important for listeners, obviously we're doing this in the light of the Euros that's, grabbed a lot of attention. And we're obviously doing this in the light of the fact that Liverpool are back in the WSL. And, we want people coming and joining, and possibly for the first time, either going to Prenton Park or just watching a Liverpool women's game. So I think it's important, isn't it, to contextualise these gaps and how important it is to be competitive. I mean, first and foremost, to the three of the top four in the two Manchester clubs and Arsenal, but also in the fact that gap is almost doubly great then to the Chelsea side, that the Chelsea sides are just an absolute force. They're coming into this as the reigning champions, but by the end of the season, it looked like it was tight in the table, but it just looked to the eye as though there's a massive gulf between them and everyone else in this division. And, having them as the first home game will make it tough for Liverpool Women. But in all of this, that is almost part of the challenge. It's the journey. If people are boarding the journey now, they're not boarding it with a side that are going to be winners every single week, far from it, but a side that's got a real target in mind across two or three seasons, which is to find a way to be genuinely competitive at the top of the table. And Chelsea are the benchmark.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how long that long term plan is going to be in terms of challenging right up there with the likes of the Manchester clubs and the Arsenals and the Chelseas. And I completely agree with everything you've said, maybe apart from one thing. I'd sort of group Arsenal's further towards the Chelsea than downwards towards the Manchester clubs, just because, I mean, you look at last season and, you know, they lost the league by 1 point. And I think, if I remember correctly, around Christmas time, correct me if I'm wrong here, Arsenal had a massive COVID outbreak. Where I think they lost to Birmingham. It was one of Birmingham's only wins of the season. And, you know, if they'd have won that game, they'd have gone on to win the league as well. Obviously, they did well in the cup competitions too. So I'd say there's a, if you're looking at the fixtures, and we will come on to talk with some of the other teams, I'd say you group maybe Chelsea and Arsenal as just a complete free pass. It doesn't matter what happens there. Spurs, the Manchester clubs will be maybe a little bit of a benchmark in terms of where we're at. And then everything else is winnable for me. I see everything else as winnable, to be completely honest. You know, that first game against Reading, Philippa mentions it there. And you mentioned yourself, it's a very tough first six games. And there's a lot of chat about the derby and how it's at Anfield and how that's brilliant. And all that's correct, but it's also pretty much must win. We have to come out of Reading and Everton with at least 4 points for me, because otherwise you can find yourself going into the seventh game winless, I think, with the other fixtures that are there. And in terms of the catalyst that the Euros brought, you mentioned that, and that's absolutely correct. And that's why, for that first game against Chelsea to be at Prenton Park, I'm a little bit going to be hiding behind the sofa watching it. Not, I'll be there, but so to speak, because I don't want us to go there and nobody to have any fun. Don't want us to be 6-0 down after an hour, which can happen against the best players in Europe, against the best teams in Europe. There will be a boosted crowd coming down there. And as I say, you know, we've all probably at some point gone down to our first game and been hooked by it. And you want people to do the same. You know, that preseason game against Blackburn, 1,200 people turned up. That was more than anyone who was there last season, apart from the trophy lift day. And Blackburn were literally in our league last season. It's nothing to do with the opposition. It wasn't a high caliber quality game, really. So, you know, that's already coming through. Imagine what it's like for one of the best teams in Europe, first league game of the season on a Sunday night. So, yeah, just we need to be competitive, but in certain games as well, we need to at least look like we're having a little bit of fun and everyone's enjoying themselves a little bit.
Yeah, the point of this, Lauren, is that it's not meant to be easy. And I think acknowledging right now, before a ball's been kicked, it's not going to be easy, I think will matter. I think it'll matter for the women who are going to represent Liverpool over the course of the campaign. Not least because hopefully it'll frame their excellence when we get to see it. You know, if they can go to Reading and get a win, set a tone, as Philip is saying, if they can find a way to at least make life exceptionally difficult for Chelsea for as long as humanly possible. Acknowledging that that's currently the thing, that is currently where we are, and simultaneously being able to say, yeah, but this is where we're going to go to. This is what the plan is. This is the directory that we can go to. And we'll find out a lot about our players in, for instance, I think these first three games in a number of different ways. That is, you know, all of that's part of this journey that we're all on together.
Yeah, it is. And you've only got a look of what's happened in the summer. You know, some of the players that have left and some of the players that we've brought in as well. But also some of the ones that have stayed and signed new contracts, especially over the last couple of days as well. It is a long-term plan for this Liverpool squad. You know, we've got back into the big league. We're there now, but it's got to be that we're there to stay. It's not just for a bit of fun this season and just see what happens. It's a there to stay kind of thing. And I'm not expecting us to be, you know, challenging in the top four of the teams and, you know, giving it all out to the big teams every week. But to be there or thereabouts is what the aim's going to be. And, you know, we've played WSL opposition a couple of times in the cup last season. We've played them in this pre-season and we've managed to hold our own for the best part of those games, and that was us last season. So I can only imagine us going into this season what it's going to be like for us.
Mentioned the new contract there, Philippa, Lauren did. As part of that, one of the things that it looks like from the outside is that Liverpool have retained the footballers they wanted to retain. That might sound, you know, like a smallish ambition, but given the significant number of turnover and churn within squads in women's football in general, but also the WSL in particular, the fact that it feels like Liverpool's squad from the side that brought them up has the players in they would have wanted to have for this challenge, I think is hugely significant.
Yeah, it just feels like a really stable situation at the moment. And I think, you know, when we were last in the WSL, we didn't have that at all. It just seemed a bit chaotic and that we had players that maybe we weren't sure about. And Lauren mentioned it very early on about the unity within the squad. And it feels like, you know, the players that we've got at the moment are just so together and so in tune with one another that it was, for me, it was more important that we kept those players and built from that rather than, like you say, churning out, you know, 8 new players coming in the summer and you're struggling to get those to gel again. You know, there's been a lot again of turnover within other squads within the league. And I think we could potentially benefit from that because we have got this kind of solid foundation that we're building from in, you know, within this season. And to add to that, you know, some of the players that we've brought in, I think are real solid signings. You know, Shanice van der Sanden, who's played for us before and was excellent for us last time she played for us, is just that bit of star quality as well, I think, to kind of add to the sort of performances we saw from Mel Lawley last season. You know, I think those two are going to be really critical this season for us getting out from the back and being able to hurt teams. And then we've already mentioned, you know, Leanne Kernan signing a new contract yesterday and Missy Bo Kearns, who I think, you know, are going to be real stalwarts within this squad, you know, our go-to players. And for me, it's really exciting to see those players wanting to commit to the club, because last time we were in the WSL, it just felt like nobody wanted to be at the club. And I think for us to be able to turn around that kind of feeling within the club within, you know, 18 months, I would say, has been really critical.
Again, I'll keep us off for the signings for one more go round, Andy. There is, you know, looking at the pre-season results in there, and obviously you're not quite sure literally about the sides that you're up against for a variety of reasons, but Liverpool, the 3-1 win you referred to against Blackburn in there, the play, a game at Carrington against Manchester United women, finishes 1-0 to Manchester United. It's then 1-0 to Liverpool against Aston Villa in the next friendly. They go to West Ham and score 5, which is obviously hugely encouraging, but also they play Manchester City on the 27th of August, so that, you know, feels relatively close at this stage, and they get themselves a 1-1 draw there against Manchester City. There's been a little bit of an international break as well in the gap since that game's been played, but that's a set of pre-season results, isn't it, that should, you know, buoy Liverpool, should feel as though they can, you know, the whatever side City in the end have put out, going there and being able to hold them, I think, is massively significant. And obviously, because they're likely to be a side that are around Liverpool, the 5-0 against West Ham away from home does feel like it could have ramifications, and it should give this side massive confidence, not least because it involved a Leanne Kernan hat-trick.
It's been a massively encouraging pre-season. It's just a massive shame that we've been able to see barely any of it, really. And not only been able to see barely any of it, been able to get hardly any information on any of it as well. I understand that Manchester United wanted to keep that game behind closed doors, but like me, Philippa and Lauren were literally trawling through photographs, trying to see who'd come on at what point, who started on the bench. You know, it was really, really difficult to get a hold of, and therefore it's difficult to get a hold of the opposition team as well and how strong they were. You've obviously got the European Championships players who went deep in those competitions, won't have been playing in those games. So we don't know quite how skewed it is, but what we do know is that Liverpool played two teams that are going to be hopefully our business this season in West Ham and Aston Villa, and beat them both away from home, two really good results. Obviously Manchester City, you say, we don't know the exact team there, but the two games we did see, I think Blackburn at home was, you know, it's a game you expect Liverpool to win. Of course you do, they're a mid-table championship team. But, you know, as I made the point at the time, it was a team we actually drew with last season at home, really struggled to break them down. And, you know, there will be some games where teams come to Prenton Park and play like that this season. A draw at Prenton Park will be a good result for a hell of a lot of WSL teams this season. And they will come for that. And Blackburn did come from that. And Liverpool carved them open time and time again. And there were some really interesting little tactical interplays there, getting Taylor Hines and Emma Covisto, who I think are undoubtedly two of our best footballers going into this season, in central areas and getting them dictating the play. And the West Ham game was, it was just a complete and utter domination. And that was a strong West Ham team. Now, many people think West Ham will be in a relegation battle this year. I think they will be as well. I think they're actually, you know, quite possibly going to go down. I know that may be quite a big call, but they did look pretty bad. But also Liverpool were utterly, utterly dominant and scoring goals that you'd expect Liverpool to be able to get goals from this season. They weren't goals that just happened. There were goals that, you know, for example, a Stengel header from a well-worked cross, a lolly cross to the back post of Van der Sanden, winger to winger. And then one of the most audacious hat tricks from Leanne Kiernan that I've ever seen in my life. And it's a shame about the missed penalty. But she's, I mean, she was to the rebound before anyone else had even gotten the box. It was an outrageous burst of pace. And then the other two, the second one, how she gets the angle on that ball from the finish on her weak foot. It looks like it's only about 7 or 8 yards out, but it's a really difficult finish. And then the third one, she's about 6 yards out, but she thinks, I'm going to put this in the top corner anyway. It was just an audacious, outrageous performance from a player with a point to prove, because she hadn't started and she didn't start a lot of these preseason games. We may come on to talk about it with the sort of rivalry with Stengel up there. But she came on with a real point to prove, and she was really angry. She scored 3 goals. She could have had at least 3 yellow cards as well. Some of the tackles she was putting in for a preseason game, which I personally love to see. And there's just so much. It could go on, but there's so many little stories of the preseason, which may turn out to be nothing. It is preseason. But in terms of, you know, what we have to go off, we can only be encouraged.
Be encouraged. And then from there are the new signings. Lauren, the first one to talk about is a woman who's won 3 Champions Leagues since she left Liverpool. Shanice van der Sanden there. It's a statement of intent. I think it's worth saying, you know, she's still only 30 years old, gets to come back, play for Liverpool. Well, she's 30 years old in October, sorry. She'll finish the season 30 years old, come back, play for Liverpool over the course of this campaign. Expect her to start the vast majority of the games. I'm sure you do as well. What is it that we can expect from her?
I think she's just that tricky winger that everyone is kind of nervous of, and that's what you want in your team. You want a defender to sort of be a bit wary of your attacking players, but she just creates opportunities. She gets in and around, you know, defenders. She can play a pass. She can shoot from long distance. She just makes things happen. And it excites me so much, because especially if you've got, you know, the Mel Loy that you had last season playing on the left and her playing on the right with either Stengel or Leanne Kiernan up front, you just think about goals all the time, and that's what you want from your front three. And that's the type of player that she is and that she can bring. You know, she doesn't. No one goes and wins 3 Champions Leagues and plays for some of the best teams in Europe if you're not good enough to do it. So the fact that she can come back here, play for us, and play in the WSL again for us is just amazing.
Yeah, I think from my side as well, you know, just being able to attract that sort of player back to Liverpool, I think it kind of shows the intent of the club as well. You know, I think we were all a little bit wary of, you know, what kind of direction the club was going in over 18 months ago. And I think, you know, the players that they brought in, they've been smart players. You know, some of the players, you know, who maybe aren't fashionable names, the Gilly Flaherty that's come in, just a really solid defender that Matt knows really well. I worked with her for a long time at West Ham. She was the captain there. So she brings that kind of nous as well to the side. And then Andy mentioned about Koivisto, you know, the right back. She's been playing really, really well in pre-season. I watched her in the Euros play for Finland. For me, she was their star player. You know, it just bodes well that we can attract those sorts of players that are coming from WSL sides. And basically saying, actually, you know, Liverpool's the club to be at. And then it gives us that base then that if we do solidify our place in the WSL, that we can then make those next steps that we all want to make in future seasons. I'm really, really excited. I think Martha Cummings as well, backup goalkeeper. Will she be backup goalkeeper? Actually, I'm not too sure. I think it's going to be a really interesting call from Matt there as well as to who's going to be the number one. I expect him to probably go with Lawsie, but another really, really solid sign in there. I'm just really, really excited. I can't wait to get to Reading on Sunday.
Excellent stuff from Andy, Lauren and Philippa so far. Hope you're enjoying this Liverpool Women's Preview. Is the business to get to do them. Earlier this week, Harriet Pryor was fortunate enough to get to go and meet Liverpool women and interview a few of them. Here's two of those interviews now. We've got Gilly Flaherty, the new signing at centre-half, and also the excellent Jazz Matthews. Here is Harriet with them.
New signing Gilly Flaherty with me. It's really exciting to have you. So you signed recently over the summer. How's it been settling into life in Liverpool?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. You know, I thought the transition would be a lot tougher than what it is. Me and my partner moved up here and, yeah, I feel like it's becoming home. I think the club have been fantastic with supporting me on and off the pitch with the move. And yeah, the seat's been great. People have been friendly, and yeah, we're all settled in.
Enjoyed seeing what Liverpool has to offer. A lot of good food, a lot of culture, a lot of exciting parts of the city, isn't there?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like I've lived in London all my life, and I probably have not seen a lot of it. I think when international players, when I was at London clubs, they'd come over and they'd see the city, and they probably saw more of London than what I have in the whole 31 years I've been alive. So here, I think we've been like that. Me and my partner have been out, we've had family up, we've gone to visit Liverpool, obviously the docks, and just seen places. So yeah, it's been great.
You joined from West Ham, you've worked with Matt Beard before, obviously. Was he one of the major reasons you wanted to come to Liverpool and work with him again?
Yeah, I think he was one of the big reasons behind it. I think the last 18 months, say, at West Ham, I wasn't really enjoying my football. I felt I had a lot of pressure on me, and just a lot of frustration. And I think for me, more importantly, at the age I'm at now, I just wanted to enjoy my football. And I think, obviously, when the chance come to link back up with Beardy again, and I know I'll enjoy my football with him, it was a selling point for me. And I mean, just in pre-season alone, I've been happy. I've been playing with a smile, and that's all I've wanted.
Yeah, for people that haven't seen you play before, what are you going to offer this Liverpool team?
I think I'd like to say I'm good on the ball. I'm a tough tackling defender. I'm quite vocal. I'm passionate. You know, whilst I'm wearing the Liverpool badge, I'll give everything 110%. And I think any teams I've played for, I think all the fans would say the same. You know, you're going to get with me, and yeah, I'm committed to the club.
You've got WSL experience as well, which is going to be key as Liverpool make that step up to the next season. Do you feel like some of the players that haven't been in the WSL before have been coming to you and sort of asking you for what it's going to be like?
Yeah, I think when I've been talking about it, players have been listening and wanting to know more. I think there's obviously quite a few players that have played in the WSL previously as well at other clubs, and obviously when Liverpool were in it. So I think it's just making sure that players who haven't played in it know what to expect, sort of thing. But sometimes I think the best way of learning is just playing it, you know, and you'll learn for yourselves how difficult the league will be. And I don't think anyone here is underestimating that either.
Yeah, what kind of league is it? Because a lot of our fans have been following Liverpool only for the last couple of seasons when they've been in the Championship. So how big is the step up going to be for the team?
It's going to be a big step up, you know, and I think we're not naive as a club or as players to know that. It is going to be challenging. I say it now, I think it's the best league in the world. I think it's the most competitive league in the world. You look at other leagues, say for example the Spanish league, you've got two teams really, Real Madrid and Barcelona. In France, you've got Lyon, PSG, and here, I think anyone could beat anyone on their day. And I think that's the exciting thing about the WSL. But yeah, I think it's obviously we've got players from all over wanting to come and play in WSL now. And that just shows obviously how great it is. And yeah, I think players will learn obviously as the game goes on just how tough it can be. But how brilliant it can be as well.
You mentioned the word exciting there. Is that the message that the manager's trying to drill into you, is that you shouldn't approach any game with any sense of nerves, because anyone could be anyone on the day, so you just need to be excited and confident about it?
Yeah, don't have that fear, and I think believe in ourselves and trust in our abilities and what we can do as a team. And I know obviously first and foremost the focus this year is staying in ourselves in the league and staying there. And I don't just think we as a club will settle for just staying there. I just think for us, we want to make people think, wow, Liverpool women are doing well, they're holding their own in that league, and not just, oh, we just survived, you know. But I think first and foremost, the first year back in the WSL, it has to be that we stay up here and we hold our own up here.
Is that the aim then for the season ahead, stay up, make sure that you consolidate yourself as a WSL team and then see what happens in the seasons to come?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think take it game by game. You know, there's no reason why we can't go and have a fantastic season and go and overachieve. But I think first and foremost as a club, you know, Beardy's very experienced in the game, and obviously we've got experience in the players. We know that the main focus this year is making sure that we stay in that league, and we make ourselves proud, and you know, people are proud to come and watch us and support us and take each game as it comes, and who knows what will happen.
And a great fan base here as well. Are you excited to hear them cheering for you and maybe creating a song for you in the coming weeks?
Yeah,
as well?
Massively. I've heard of against West Ham, I heard my name get called out a couple of times, obviously here at Blackburn as well. But yeah, the fans have been great. Obviously I've played against Liverpool quite a few times over the years, and it's always been a difficult ground to come to, and the fans have always been loud and, you know, passionate. And obviously I think that just shows how passionate the city is anyway about football. But again, I'm excited to be obviously part of their team now, you know, and have the support from them as well. And I think they'll be massive for us this season.
They'll be cheering for you this season. Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for talking to us and good luck for the season. So it's great to have Jazz Matthews. As we've just been talking about the pre-season, it feels like it's been an age since you got promotion. How's the summer been for you?
Yeah, it's been great. I think, you know, the season itself last year was very intense. There was only one ever goal, and that was to get promoted. So I think we had like a lot of pressure on our shoulders from day one when we come in, and like everyone knew that, you know, we were there to get promoted. But I think the fact that, you know, Matt come in, so there's one goal, and that's to get promoted. So yeah, I think it was a massive weight. But then, you know, when we lost the first game, we were like, oh God. Okay,
I remember that really clearly, and yeah. I was thinking it's going to be a tough season.
Yeah, exactly. But then after that, we just kicked on, and we just took each game as it comes. We didn't ever kind of shy away from any challenge. And then, yeah, like we obviously got promoted, and then I think just having that off season was just really nice to kind of reflect, because at the end of the season, all the celebrations was just crazy, and I think it was kind of a blur. So I think to actually just chill, reflect, spend some time with family. It was definitely what we needed. And I think we had like 8 weeks off. So that was nice as well, because obviously the Euro, so we got a bit more longer time off, which was lovely.
How long were you able to celebrate for before you started thinking, okay, we've got to prep now for the new season and think about what's to come rather than last season?
Yeah, well, I think we was actually allowed 2 weeks off, and that was just... You didn't really have to do anything. Yeah, you don't sit on the sofa eating chocolate or something.
That's the problem.
A little bit, but not. We were allowed to do that a little bit. And then after those 2 weeks, you had to do a bit of running. And I think then once you start running, then you kind of start focusing on the season, but not too much, because I think it's good to still have that downtime and
definitely
you time. So it's just getting a balance of, you know, really focusing on the season. I think when you come in for pre-season, that's what pre-season's for, is to get you ready for the season. So I think when you're actually off-season running and stuff, you're just there to maintain your fitness. And then, yeah, pre-season is when you really think about the season.
Yeah, you spoke about the mentality of taking it game by game and just taking every challenge as it comes last year. Is that the same mentality that the manager's trying to drill into you as you approach the WSL?
Yeah, definitely. I think if we start looking too far ahead, I think you don't really focus on the game in front of you. So I think that's always the best way to go about it. It's just taking each game as it comes and focus on that opponent, how we're going to beat them. And then I think once we get that job done, we then focus on the next game.
But you belong on the biggest stage. And I was speaking to Katie before about the Euros and about the popularity of women's football. And are you excited that you're now going to be part of that at the top level that you can in this country?
Yeah, definitely. I think I said it to one of the guys earlier that like Liverpool belong in the WSL. And it's nice that we're back where we belong. I think it's going to be tough. I think the last time Liverpool were in the WSL, the game has grown massively since those, what was it, 2 years ago that we were in?
2 years, yeah.
2 years. So I think, the women's game is growing so fast that I think that we need to get up to speed with that as soon as possible. And I think we've proven that we can compete against those teams with our pre-season results. You know, we've had a great pre-season. Yeah. Everyone's in the right mindset, physicality, everyone's ready. So, yeah, I think we're all ready for the season now.
This is your second stint at Liverpool. What's changed since you were here last time, and how has it been coming back and having over a year now at the club?
Yeah, it's changed massively. I think we get, you know, a lot more backing from the men's. Just little things that if we need anything.
Trending the sand from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like things like that. It's really nice to see that we get that backing from the men's. And I think, you know, Matt is just a great person, and he brings in, you know, good character people. And I think that is always nice. If you go into work and you actually like your teammates, and that just
Yeah, brightens your day up, and it makes you want to work hard for the players on the pitch. And I think that's one thing that, you know, this group of girls have, and we just fight for each other, we work hard, we have each other's backs. And I think that's going to get us through a lot of games this year when maybe it's 0-0, but, you know, we have each other's back and we just want to fight till the end. I think that's going to really, it's going to do us good this year, I think.
Are you looking forward to playing at Anfield as well? We're already planning ahead for that as fans. I can't wait. It's going to be such a good occasion.
Yeah, I actually still can't believe that we're playing there, to be honest. When I watch the men's play there, I'm just like, this stadium is incredible. And by the sounds of it, they're selling a lot of tickets. So it's going to be crazy. We were hoping that we would get a game at Anfield last year.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's happened so quickly at the start of this year against Everton on Sky Sports, I think, like, what more could you want? Like, it's just a massive occasion, and all the girls are just thriving for that, and we actually can't wait now for that derby day at Anfield.
Yeah, thanks so much, Chance, for chatting to us. And as you mentioned there, encourage everyone to get their tickets for that, because it's going to be such a good occasion. A lot of people I know are going, so make sure you get online, get your tickets for that one, because we can't wait to watch you play at Anfield.
Definitely.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much to Harriet, to Gilly and to Jazz. Let's get back over now with Andy, Philippa and Lauren. Koivisto, Andy, suggests that there's going to be a perseverance with the back three, back five that he pushed on. Yep. He actually uses in his statements around the signing of Koivisto. He mentions wing back. We see it as a wing back. You said before about Hines and Koivisto pulling the strings in midfield. It's a commitment to that you can also see through the preseason selection, and therefore it does feel as though, you know, with Flaherty as well in there, that these women have been bought for purpose. You know, then there's a very clear role marked out for all three of them over the time and in this season. Before we, you know, have a conversation about the goalkeeper question, all three of them have got a really, really clear path as to what they're offering in this side.
Absolutely. And on Koivisto, it was one for Liverpool last season, because Charlotte Wardlow was so good on loan from Chelsea in that side at the start of the season. When she wasn't available, you were sort of throwing somebody in there who didn't maybe quite belong there. The likes of Raza Roberts, the likes of Michaela Moore, even on the Bristol away. I'm pretty sure Taylor Hines plays at right wing back and does really, really well, but you absolutely don't want her there. And there's a question about how do you fit Meg Campbell into the team then? Because obviously the throw-ins speak for themselves, don't they? But Koivisto, I mean, I had a look at their stats, and that's one of the great things about being in the WSL this year. FB Ref, the website, actually do proper statistics on the players in the WSL. You know, so we're not relying on Anfield Analytics doing their unbelievable work, really, just to find out basically anything about what's happening statistically. And, you know, Koivisto's in the fifth percentile, sorry, 95th percentile. I'd like to think she's in the fifth percentile for like most things that you'd expect a wing back to do. That said, you know, I mentioned earlier that she sort of plays in midfield, and I always think with these managers and coaches who know a hell of a lot more about football than us, when we put arbitrary numbers and formations, they would just completely throw that out the window, because roles are different. And I very much see Hines and Koivisto as midfielders rather than wingbacks. I think that's a question, because everyone sort of sees the two in midfield and thinks, especially when you've got the likes of Furness in there, who's getting on a little bit, you know, is two in there enough, especially for these better teams? Could you be overrun? But you really do see, Hines and Koivisto aren't touchline players. They're absolutely getting in field and using their quality from central areas where they're more likely to score goals. And I think that's going to be a major, major part of this season. And just on Van de Sanden, you mentioned somebody who's won three Champions Leagues, started most of them, in most of those finals as well, won the European Championships with Holland, or with the Netherlands, I should say, sorry, played in most of the qualifiers for the Netherlands in the World Cup and the Euros. Really unlucky to miss out in that squad. You know, this type of player should not be signing for a newly promoted team to the WSL. We've done it. We've done a massive, massive favour to ourselves for getting somebody like that in, somebody like Koivisto as well. And for me, that is the Matt Beard factor. He makes people feel at home. He makes people welcome. He gets the best out of these players. And I think that's going to be really encouraging for us. And it is a World Cup year as well, which people forget, because the Euros was just in the summer. So Van de Sanden will be absolutely busting to get back in that World Cup squad. And I think she's going to really, really have that fire in her belly this season.
As part of all of this, you know, to dwelling on the players, obviously, who were part of the journey last season as well, Lauren, there's another factor here for Liverpool to look impressive and play good stuff. It is as simple as the fact that a lot of the games are on television. The highlights packages are more easily available. But, you know, you go through Liverpool's early fixtures, Reading away not deemed to be attractive enough by the standards of the of what's happening within, you know, within the women's game first weekend of the season. That's all right. You know, they'll come round in a period of time. But then, you know, it's on the FA player, though. All the games are on the FA player. And then from there, you know, Liverpool have got two back-to-back on Sky. Then when they play Arsenal, it's on the BBC. They haven't worked out the fixtures moving into November yet. But the point is, you know, there's a reason for these, you know, for this side to be ready, to be built. It's because they're going to be box office. This is part of this now. They will be televised. These games will be given a massive push. They will be covered heavily. Liverpool, you know, not just the new players, all of them, the ones who sustained through last season as well. This is what they were in it for last season, is the idea of becoming household names.
Yeah, it's almost like a completely different kettle of fish this season in terms of games being televised week in, week out. And it's not just on, you know, the big household names like Sky and BT and BBC. The fact that we can watch every game on the FA player as well when it's available is a game changer, because, you know, there will be times when people can't get to Prenton or they can't get to the away games. And like we've touched on previously, the amount of frustration that you have in just terms of going off Twitter updates, and it's not really much that you can go off. So the fact that everything is readily available for fans to watch each game each week is amazing. But yeah, it's going to be a big, big test for the squad, because, you know, a lot of the players in that team won't be used to the fact that they will be playing on televised games every week, especially on the likes of like Sky Sports. And you hope that it will bring in big crowds and it will get more people interested, because, you know, the Liverpool Women should be a team that people are interested in. It's a big club, it's a big name. And the fact that, you know, we do play the likes of Chelsea, your Man City's, they're big rivalries, whether it's men's or women's. So they should be televised, and they should be the games that people are like, I wanna have a look at this, and I wanna see what's going on. And hopefully it then pushes more people to come to games, and it can be a real game changer going forward for us.
There's a host of those women from last season, Philippa, you know, obviously Cairns and Cairns has signed a new contract. Missy Bo Cairns has signed a new contract. That's come through, confirmed. Kiernan also signed a new contract in there as well. There's Katie Stengel, there's Rachel Furness, there's Rihanna Roberts, there's Mel Lawley, Niamh Fahey, Leanne Robe. This is, you know, Meg Campbell. These are the women who did what Liverpool needed them to do last season, and they're going to get a season in the sun now, where they can show themselves, show the quality, and show the quality in a nationwide way, but also hopefully to a much wider pool of Liverpool supporters. I've said nationwide there as well, but obviously all around the globe as well. These are big moments, and these are big opportunities, aren't they, to represent Liverpool on this stage? And those names I've just mentioned, plus more, have more than earned it. Who are you excited to see this season?
Do you know what? I'm really, really excited to see Missy Bo Cairns and Taylor Hines, because I really do feel like there's an opportunity for those two players to get an outside shot at making the World Cup next season. You know, if they play well, cement their places within the Liverpool team. I mean, Taylor Hines, I think, you know, was one of our players of the season last season. I think she was absolutely brilliant. But I think that, you know, they play in positions where there's places that have opened up with what's happened over the summer. You know, England, you know, have a fairly settled squad, but there are some places within there that you can look to get in there. And, you know, they're both playing for the under-23s, I think, at the moment. And they pretty much start every game for the under-23s. So they're obviously high up in kind of like the next level of the England setup. So I think playing within the WSL can only help that. And if Liverpool are doing well and you know, the players are doing well, then, you know, Serena Wiegmann's going to be looking at them. So I'm really excited to see what they can bring. But I think just seeing the unity of the squad again, you know, we know it's not going to be all rosy like it was last season for the vast majority. You know, there are going to be times when the players are going to need the fans behind them. And I think that's where kind of, you know, we need as many people going to the games as possible, but also, you know, having a positive energy, not like the negative energy that can kind of like bring the team down. We need to help them as much as we possibly can. You know, there's big plans in place for the first home game. You know, we're getting some massive flags done, basically. And it, you know, it's really, really exciting to see how, you know, where we can take the fan base going forward. Because I think that was a massive part as well of last season. You know, the fans travelling both home and away, I think really helped the team, you know, push them that little bit further so that they could get back up into the WSL. But like I say, I think it's easy to support a side when they're doing well. But, you know, our job for me is when we're not doing so well to stick behind them and to give them that support.
Finding for them individual little challenges through the season, Andy, marker points both as individuals and as collectives, you know, international recognition there, as Philip has mentioned, goal targets, quite possibly the idea of wanting to hit a certain number of points at certain weeks. All of that sort of what will matter here, because I don't think anyone, as we're chatting here, thinks that there's going to be an unlikely run towards a league title. You know, I think we can all be honest enough about that. But instead, being able to enjoy the excellence of these women that we've got to know over the previous year or two, on the one hand, and also find ways for them to be able to hit their points all the way through the campaign is going to be massive. You mentioned before about, you know, a certain number of points from the first three games would be great, a certain number of points from the first six would be great. All the way through the season, isn't it, both as individuals and as the collective, they're going to have to find their little marker points, and that's what we're going to have to be in it for with them.
Yeah, absolutely, and it sounds cliched and it sounds a little bit cringeworthy, but with that group, it absolutely is about the collective. You look at last season and how it sort of went, and we've had conversations sort of towards the end of last season about who was the player of the season, and it was a genuine debate. You could have thrown six or seven players' names in there.
Yeah,
for consistency, I would have gone with Rachel Laws, but I think Philip is probably right. Taylor Hines absolutely was the best outfield player, but you know, you could have made an argument for eight or nine of them, and I think when you actually look back, different players came into their own at different points of the season, and that was massive for Liverpool. Yeah. Leanne Kiernan was undoubtedly the best player in the league in the first half of the season. Tailed off a little bit, partially because she had to change position when Katie Stengel came in, but then Stengel came in and scored the goals herself. You know, Ashley Hodgson, even though she's out on loan, had a strong start to the season. Lawley starts and finishes the season well. Kern starts the season well, but then Furness comes in and does well after that. Holland was fairly consistent. There's so many of these little, that you know, players peaking just at the right times and others players peaking. You know, there wasn't really a lull at any point of the season. There were points dropped here and there, but it was fairly well spread throughout. And I think that's really important. As you say, Liverpool are going to find it tough this year. They're coming up against just teams who are completely different gravy to what they were up against last year. Some of the best players in Europe. And if they don't have that sort of collective spirit and that kind of spreading out of form throughout certain players, if everyone has a lull at once and you're playing Chelsea away at the weekend, you're in massive trouble. It's as simple as that. So the way the dynamics of this squad go and the way they sort of work for each other and the way I think they are more about the collective than individual awards, Leanne Kiernan doesn't strike me as the type of person who is a goal target for this season. I'm sure she does at some point, but she's not emphatically that type of personality and striker. They all look like they're just genuinely interested in getting Liverpool staying in the WSL, which is the bare minimum, really, isn't it?
It's the bare minimum, Andy, but do you feel as though they've got sufficient numbers? Because this, to me, is the, you know, essentially there's, we expect them to play something that looks a bit like 5-2-3. We could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, there's seven defenders in the squad, five midfielders and five down as forwards. Now, forwards doesn't all mean centre forwards, far from it. Do you feel as though the numbers are there, or do you think that they may still be looking for one more?
I think they are looking for one more, and I think they would ideally have liked to do one or two more. And I think probably the light areas are the wide areas and the midfield. But we've seen throughout pre-season, for the very little piece of information we can find, they're finding in-house solutions to that. Jazz Matthews plays in midfield in one of the games where she played at Bristol. Nefi can play in midfield as well. She thinks she played there for about 5 minutes in against West Ham before Beardy decided that wasn't for him. And Carla Humphrey can line up in the wing as well. And she's a player with WSL experience. Doesn't get many minutes last season, but some people think she was more bought for the WSL and having that experience. And that's the other thing to mention as well. People mention the signings, and some of them haven't been, you know, that sort of inspiring, really. The likes of Flaherty has had a difficult couple of years in the WSL with West Ham. Lauren finds it absolutely hysterical how I pronounce her name, by the way. Apparently it's really wrong, but I don't really know how else I'm going to say it. But you have to remember that Matt Beard brought 9 or 10 players in last summer where he wasn't bringing those in to win the championship. He was bringing those in to win the championship and be competitive in the WSL. And that's the thing. you can talk about four signings this summer, and is that enough to make you competitive in the WSL? It's more than that. You have to include players from last year. And how many can step up? Well, you only really need two or three of them to be, and then you've got a squad of seven or eight WSL players. And, you know, it might be a big shout. I really don't expect, this could come back to bite me in the arse, I don't expect Liverpool to be in a relegation scrap next season. I don't.
The part of that is, you know, they may well have liked one or two more, Philippa, but I think they're looking for the right people. That is a massive step for this side. It's one where, you know, I'll say again about the breadth of opportunity. I've mentioned the television, I've mentioned where we're up to, but the other thing that's going to happen, obviously, you mentioned that the Chelsea game will be the first home game at Prenton Park, and it'll be a big, big opportunity for the supporters to show what they're about, but also then an even bigger one looms the week after, which is the Merseyside derby being played at Anfield. Across the board and in the context of the Euros as a boost, you know, it's a real opportunity for Liverpool women to grab a lot of people's attention across the first three games this season.
Definitely is. You know, we managed to get, I think it was 23,000 last time we played at Anfield against Everton. And I'd like us to get more than that this time. You know, there's no reason for me why we can't. Like you say, on the back of the Euros, where, you know, you can't have anything but people impressed by the women's game in the Euros. You know, there wasn't a single nil-nil. You're going to be entertained. I just don't know what it takes. You know, maybe the club can do more to promote it. Maybe we can do more to promote it. I'm not too sure, but, you know, I want as many people as possible to be there for that derby game. You know, the club had done it the right way. They've got an away allocation for Everton as well, so all their fans will be together and not in amongst the Liverpool fans, which is really good. It's something that I think, you know, WSL sides need to get a bit more on board with. It's not about segregation, because I have never, ever experienced any sort of trouble at the women's games. It's all about the atmosphere for those teams and getting the support together so that the Everton fans know exactly where to go to. If, you know, they manage to keep a nil-nil, they're not going to score at Anfield. I'm 100% sure of that. But yeah, it's... you know, for me, that is what it should be all about now. It should be about building those fan bases for those sides. And, you know, I would like us to do more. I think, you know, the last home game, they brought out the women's players, and they had like a bit of an interview thing, but nobody was really paying any attention. So I think the club needs to get a little bit better at doing that and getting people interested in pushing it a bit more.
I was ratting Rachel Furniss out to everyone around me. I was telling everyone she's supporting Newcastle this game. I promise you she is. Don't be fooled by that badge on her chest. She's a 23-3.
Yeah.
So she was.
Yeah. I mean, the club are getting better. I just think that we could be doing more. You know, there's no way that we'd be getting this close to the match, you know, in the men's game, and, you know, we wouldn't have sold out already. And yet, I'm seeing it, and there's only, like, I think it's the main stand, the bottom part of the main stand's open, and the bottom part of the cop. And for me, by now, we should be selling out more than that. So I'm going to do my very best over the next couple of weeks to try and get more people going, put it that way.
It's what we want, Lauren. We want the ground full. That goes for Prenton Park as well, and it is important with this season opening up now. You know, I think this week sort of reminded people that these games are coming back around, that this season is starting. It's one of the strangenesses of having the pre-season friendlies and then having an international break, really, is that momentum is a little bit tricky. Momentum is something we talk about with the women's game all the time. But it starts now, to be quite honest with you. You know, Sunday is a massive game. A victory there opens those two home games up. We know we'll learn something against Chelsea one way or another. But the one against Everton, that one at Anfield, it will be fantastic to see Anfield as full as possible.
Yeah, it would. It's kind of like a revenge mission as well, which it makes it a little bit more exciting because of what happened last time. So, yeah, hopefully. But, yeah, like you said, getting people up to Prenton is the main thing, obviously. People have this thing about it being at Prenton and it being over the water and whatever else. But, you know, there is ways and means of getting there, and, you know, tickets are cheap. You know, it's not that hard. And especially, you know, the kickoff times on Sunday, 12 or 2 is always a decent time to go as well. So, yeah, it's just a good day out all around. But like you said, you want that full as well. It's like Andy switched on before, you know, for a pre-season game, you're getting over 1,000 people there. And you want to be getting over 1,000 people, 2, 3, 4, each game this season, hopefully. You know, I think it obviously depends on how well the team's doing. But people also want to go and see the likes of your Sam Kerr and your Nader Mars and your Leah Williamsons now. And that's part of the reason why people do go as well, because you want to watch them players play. So that's also the pull of being in WSL as well, as having those matches to look forward to, because you get to see those players as well. So yeah, fingers crossed we can get a couple of fans in each game this season, because it'll be a good atmosphere.
Okay, last question for all of you really is just what constitutes a good season as far as you're concerned. It could be anything you want really. Andy, what constitutes a good season?
I think I think in terms of it, you have to go by a league finish, because any cup competitions can be skewed by the draw, albeit with a very kind draw in the Conti Cup, and I'm bang into a Conti Cup run, by the way, as everyone knows. Loved it last season, absolutely loved it, and I absolutely love the fact you get 2 points for a win if you win on penalties, by the way. I think, you know, no game should ever end a draw in football ever again. That's who loses by watching a penalty shootout at the end of every draw. So but in terms of the league position, I think it's being competitive. I think you touched on it before. You can't stay up like Leicester stay up. You have to be competitive. You can't be getting chinned 9-0 by Arsenal, and it was a 7-0 by Arsenal, 9-0 by Chelsea, something along the lines. I think they were in quick succession as well. It's being competitive, and for me, there's no reason why Liverpool can't challenge up for sort of 6th, 7th, 8th place. I think the first stage of it will be staying up, and then if you can do that, if you can be competitive in the same season, then the bridge goes up to challenging your Spurses, your Arsenals, maybe your Manchester United's as well, and then it's a bridge up to that. Now, how long that takes could be 5, 6, 7 years, could be more, could be less, but I think that's the first stage of it, definitely. And yeah, I'm just really excited. Although that said, I say that the league success is what constitutes, or the league is what constitutes success this season. If you offered me an FA Cup and Conti Cup double and going down, I'm absolutely taking it all day long.
Philippa, what constitutes a good season?
I think we'll finish 6th or 7th. I really do. I think some of the business that other clubs have done has been a little bit surprising, should we say. And I think the one thing that we've got that maybe we haven't touched upon is a really good defensive record last season. And I think, you know, if we can use that to our advantage in the really tough games, and then build on it in the games that we should be getting points from, I don't see any reason why we can't finish, you know, right in the, you know, mid-table.
Lauren?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think 6th, 7th, 8th is the perfect one. But I would like a cup run again, but I think this season's kind of sort of settling yourself back into the WSL and just finishing as high as possible. And then maybe the season after you're looking at, you know, challenging for trophies and whatnot. So yeah, I'd take a 7th at the minute.
There we are. Everything that you need. Well, not everything that you need, because there's other things that you'll need. They come from elsewhere. Lauren's joined us from Red Men TV with the women's coverage that she does with Amy brilliantly and has done for a long, long time. You need that. Also, Liverpool Women Supporters Club, freely available all over social media. Find them, follow them, come become part of it. Very, very welcoming indeed. Want as many people as possible, not just at the games, but enjoying every last minute of it. Andy's got a social protected, I presume he's got some reasons for that. But you can have everything that you need. Teacher and that. Everything that you need apart from more Andy Bell in your life. You've got to ask his permission for that sort of thing. Everything that you need, everywhere across Liverpool Women, from everything that just said there, and the Anfield Wrap as well. I'm looking at doing some stat shows over the course of the season to introduce Liverpool's opponents prior to playing them, and maybe to review games after we played them. We'll be looking to do as many post-match pinks as we can from around Prenton Park, especially as the season wears on. We'll be looking to do that all the way through as well. And as I say, some review sort of tactical bits and pieces as it wears on as well. It'll be the absolute business. It's a great time to come and become part of what is, I'll say it again, a tremendous journey that Liverpool decided to start last season, and did so with aplomb. We are all in this one together. It will be a tough campaign. Have no illusions that the WSL is some sort of stroll in the park for this Liverpool women's side. But I agree with what's been said on this show. They look more than capable of holding their own over the course of the campaign. Thanks to Philippa, to Andy, and to Lauren. Come and enjoy it. Sports Social Podcast Network.